Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
How's it, guys? We're here at Bishop for another episode of The Box Office. We're going to look at last weekend's Six Nations action. Scotland retained the Calcutta Cup. The Green Machine Ireland still on a roll. And France, well, got away with one against Italy. With me in studio is going to be Jean de Villiers Skalkburger at Bishop for The Box Office, which is now open.
World Cup winner.
No, played for Ireland.
He's got a cap. Don't judge me.
John, think of an Barrett.
No, he's retired.
You've got to be current, man. You can't go.
But if there's no physical body playing, then who do you choose?
Maybe there must be.
Look, there isn't.
American. I've got one.
Or Japanese guy.
Yeah, I've got a Japanese guy.
Jean Escala, welcome back. First of all, happy birthday, Jean. Big day for you last weekend. How are the birthday celebrations?
No, it was non-existent.
Is it?
Where did I ever go on Friday night for a bit of a show at Kirsten Bosch?
What, yeah. Xavier Rudd?
Xavier Rudd.
Okay.
Scott, he was also there.
I'm sure you didn't make the cut, but...
We told you about it, and you didn't want to pay for the ticket.
No, I don't want to pay for the ticket.
Too many people there. You didn't know who Xavier Rudd was.
I don't like crowds. Exactly. And I'd rather stay at home. Mm. How was the concert? How was the birthday? Let's not deflect you. That's an old
tactic.
No,
my birthday was a little bit disastrous.
What happened?
Because my kids participated in athletics, and it was a disastrous day. And my wife was not feeling well all day, so it wasn't much of a celebration. But Friday night, I mean, anyone that's not been to Kirsten Bosch must definitely go to watch an open air show there, because it really is beautiful.
No, it was incredible.
And the wind factor there?
No wind.
Yeah. I've cycled up there a couple of times.
The most perfect, if it was today or maybe yesterday, I was on the golf course yesterday on a Monday, UCT versus Marty's. We beat them at the golf. How did UCT go in the Varsity Cup
last
night?
How's we? Who's we? Why? Since when?
You went to UCT, right?
Business school. There's no rugby team there.
Okay. It was a hard day for the IQs yesterday on the golf course. And
no,
on
look,
the rugby
wind was
field.
Terrible though. I mean, they didn't even. I don't think the game was televised because of the scaffolding or something like that.
Oh, really?
Because the movement
It was not on TV because they said the wind was too.
Sure.
Too...
But apparently it was packed, heaving.
The Green Mile's, I mean, absolutely known for its wind, eh?
Yeah, but with that wind and to get a full house.
But both teams play in the wind, eh? It's like the same for both, eh?
Yeah. Good analogy, but good birthday, eh?
Nah.
Could you have Jesse here last week?
It was fantastic.
Were you built like Jesse when you were playing?
No. Oh. He's an athlete, eh? Yeah. He's a proper athlete.
So is Duan van der Merwe.
Hello.
He's got guns. Similar to yours, John, a bit bigger though.
But what's up with him in England? I mean, he scored a double try of the year last year, wasn't it? Was it try of the year?
The long range one was at Twickenham last year. That was a good try.
And then he scores a hat-trick this week. He scored a double last year.
But, I mean, some of the tries that he scored, okay, the one was the turnover, but the one with the cross kick, I mean, that was a proper try.
Yeah.
That was a proper team try. Okay, you need to execute. He needs to catch the ball and all that, but flip.
If you watch Finn Russell, that sums him up, because he gets such balls, the turnover line-out, he panics, kicks it, gets charged down, lands into a Scottish hand, line break, and then... His second kick is just world class. As bad as the first one was, the second one was pinpoint on the bounce.
Yeah, a story that's been trending, Jean. You're gonna have to tell it again on the box office, because you left that one out.
What story? You
disrespecting your captain after World Cup celebrations. We talk a lot about post World Cup celebrations. One more time.
Yeah.
No. The punch you threw, and I was. I'm disappointed.
Why do we have to talk about this again?
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
I love the fact that it's coming out.
It's coming out.
It was kept so hush for so long.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about
it. No, but I heard I went on my phone the other day, Instagram, bang, bang.
Really?
Yeah, jeez.
Was it on Instagram?
So tell us, please.
They didn't want to listen, so I'm...
2000 bus trip celebrations, wine being poured on you?
Yeah.
Bimba.
In the, like, at the height of the celebration, last night out...
What time of the day was it? Let's just...
No, not day.
Okay. Somewhere north of 2 in the morning.
On the bus.
Somewhere around there.
On the bus.
And you've been on it the whole day?
No, the whole week. It's a ticket tape parade tour, taking the trophy around the country. This is the last night.
So wait, hold on. Jean Deville is the one hit wonder. Had been on it the whole week.
Well, this was his biggest hit.
This is going to be your biggest week ever. The one hit wonder was on it the whole week. Okay, so you got a bit of endurance in you, okay?
Yeah.
I won't interrupt you again.
And then John Smith thought it would be a good idea just to pour some wine in my head while I'm having like a bit of an argument with my missus. And then that wasn't cool. And then I said, Bonnie, please don't do it again. And then he did it again. And then I got a little bit more upset, and then he did it a third time. And then I just got up and party over. Music off.
But bus quiet.
Everybody seated quiet.
Awkward silence.
The picture of how to end a party was Danny Rousseau was dancing with a big Bose speaker on his head like this.
Yeah.
And I was next to him funneling a beer or whatever, and this punch landed. Music off. Everyone's gone to bed. Oh. End of the night. I asked John if he pitched up the next morning when we did our trip through Cape Town and Newlands.
Guilt? One hit wonder kicked in.
Yeah.
The anxiety.
Depression. And then...
Did you apologize at least the next day?
Of course I did. Okay, I apologized the same night.
The weird thing is, like, John Smith came to me in the morning. He said, listen, what happened last night? My eyes so sore. He couldn't remember it.
Yeah, not my proudest moment.
But yeah, everyone knows about it now. But it's fine, John.
I should get on Instagram, guys. I should find out what's happening.
Yeah, Scala, listen, when are you going to get on Instagram?
No chance, boy.
Let's talk about your allergy to social media, actually.
I remember when it happened.
He's a closet Instagrammer because he goes on his wife's account.
And he searches.
Yes.
Poking over, looking over the wall to see what's going on.
Listen, guys.
Scala, do you go on your wife's account and look?
No, when social media came out, they came to us and listen here, guys.
His ears are going red.
Let's go and do this thing. Let's do social media. And I was like, boys, I can't think of handling the admin. So I just skipped it. And then after 5 years, they came back to you. And like, unlike John, who like obviously wasn't on it in the beginning, and then he gave in.
He's never on the news. 7 o'clock news last night. Laureus Awards, JDV. I'm trying to watch about world politics. I put the TV on. There's your face staring at me.
And what happened?
I changed the channel.
Smile on your face.
I took a picture and I sent it to you.
On your face. It put a smile on your
channel.
Face.
I changed the channel.
Good news, John.
I watched Cartoon Channel. I watched CBBS instead.
So they got engagement because you felt engaged.
I went to Nickelodeon.
We
went to Comedy Central.
We have to congratulate the Box and Sia for being nominated, though.
Which other teams were nominated, by the way?
For World Team of the Year?
Yeah.
Red Bull?
Yeah.
Verstappen?
Yeah. Is Man City? I'm not too sure.
Oh, gee, was that?
No, it's the Oscars of sport. And Sia Khaleesi is nominated for Comeback of the Year, an award that Skulk won in 2015. And the Box for Team of the Year, competing with all the biggest sporting teams in the world. I think that's...
Were you guys fanboys at the Laureus Awards? I mean, you sort of get there.
You've got no choice, huh?
Yeah.
No, like you just... You're just a fan.
I mean...
The worst fanboy moment I had was Japan. We went to go watch Brian playing golf with Tiger Woods and all that.
Oh,
I was like, John, let's take a picture with Tiger.
Yeah.
Now stop behaving like a fanboy. We'll do it later.
Yeah,
biggest regret. We never got the photo.
Is that where Brian O'Bannon nearly broke a Dickie Matsuyama's back?
Yeah, that's when he jumped on his back. Yeah. Jason Day was there. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy. Marshall Tindall and Gregan were playing with him. And it was the par...
Par three.
Yeah, the par three, yeah. Never been more nervous to see a mate of mine hit a golf ball, to be honest.
How did he actually get that on the green? Because we've played golf with Brian.
Look, Skulk Brits was there with him
yeah.
at the driving range practicing. I said, Scala, how's it looking? He said, he's hitting it all over the place. But at and then he lined up. I was like, I had anxiety. We were all nervous. Like, Brian, please,
please, just kill
connect
someone,
the ball. Connect
kill
the ball. Yeah. He hit it. I think it was just off the green a bit. Yeah. And I think they got a par for
see,
that.
But see, I'm a, no, he sunk
the putt. Sunk the putt.
Who sunk? We brined it.
Hideki.
Yeah, Hideki.
Hideki
it,
so. Sunk a monster, like a 25-meter putt or something.
But at the Laureus Awards, it literally is like, you're a fanboy because, like, you're standing there and then Sachin Tendulkar walks past and Lewis Hamilton walks past and Lionel Messi's there and this guy.
Sachin Tendulkar, the one year Federer won at the World's, the Sports Person of the Year. He came walking past. Yeah. His mom, Tani Lanato, was sitting there. We had a little photo with him. Valentino Rossi won the one year and we were just sitting there like, hello, Valentino, how are you doing?
I mean, here's a story for you, and it was in Shanghai when he won.
Yeah,
and we were there now. Obviously, like I suppose the rugby guys as well. You have like an event like this, and then you have post drinks as well.
Yeah.
And as it would be, a lot of the South Africans kind of gather around
in the corner, around the bar,
and people attract as well. But so,
Mike Horn.
Mike Horn.
The Adventurer.
The Adventurer is also a...
Laureus Ambassador.
Not an ambassador, an Academy member.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So he's one of the top dogs. So he's now standing there. And so it's myself, Scala, Steve Waugh, Mike.
Yeah.
A couple of other... I can't even remember all the other sports people. And Superman.
Yep.
Is there Henry Cavill?
Henry Cavill.
He's also standing there, him and his brother.
Paul Murray was there too.
Yeah. So he's standing there and he tells a story how Mike Horn is his hero. And I'm like, well, this now explains it all.
Yeah.
Even Superman wants to be Mike
Horn.
Jeez. And the things Mike Horn's done also.
No, he's done unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, crazy stories, eh?
Yeah.
Shimmy, if you ever meet him, you put out your hand, you've got to just prepare yourself for the barrage that's coming. It's a hug, it's a headbutt, it's a komiso, how are you doing? You've basically got to psych yourself up. When you see him, you're like, okay, Scala, shoulder pads on, mouth guard in, this is going to take a while. Like, so passionate. He's the type of oak who says, listen, if you can't go any further, you've got 80% left. And I believe him. He can do that. I'm not too sure we can do it, Shim, but Mike Horn can do that.
We saw Federer after, it was the World Cup final, no? And you were there in the corridor,
outside the chain room.
Yeah, it gets quite cool. So I think some guys wanted to ask for pictures there, but it's sort of, okay, what do we do? What happens now?
Easier for us.
What do we do? Do we take a picture?
Who's the champ? Who's the champ?
So sort of gets a little bit awkward, but geez, he's a big time Springbok supporter there.
I think that it's the beauty of sport is that you respect and you admire other people for what they've done, even though you might have achieved whatever as well. But I don't think that it gets much bigger than the tennis guys. Eh? Those guys are next level.
Yeah, the big three.
Yeah.
Well, they don't punch each other in bus trips after a celebration or 2 in the morning.
You never know. You'd never know, Shimmy.
Guys, quick one. Let's look at this.
Quick, like really quick, or do you want a long answer?
Long answer. France versus Italy.
Quick, what do you want a long answer?
Yes, boys. We didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, we didn't see that one coming. First question, how long does Galtier have? Does he have time?
I think he's got time.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Like, you never know. Like,
It's the French.
Look, I mean, there is mitigating circumstances. Like, red card for Dante on the weekend, but like four big locks is out. It's not available for them. Paul Williams are through suspension. Your favorite, Thibaut Flamont.
Thibaut
Flamont. There's two other guys out there as well. But like it's the way they play.
Cameron Wilkie played and
Aldred was on the bench
Aldred,
for this weekend.
Yeah.
But like you think there's a transition that's got to happen. The way they play, I think people's worked them out with the long kicking game.
Yeah.
And so much of their game is about 22 entries, the accuracy in around the mall, and then with DuPont, it's almost like they've got an extra loose forward in that 22 play where he's a real threat and he sort of speeds up the tempo of the game. Obviously they don't have DuPont or Intermac at the moment. But I think it runs a little bit deeper than that. Their kicking game, I'm not sure they're getting rewarded.
You don't understand what they're doing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and they've been found out.
And I think they've been found out a little bit, So they don't have the intensity. If you think back to the quarterfinal we played against them, that intensity they had there, that first maul they scored, Fumo Vaca was at the end of it. But like it's a 22-meter
Maul against the Springboks. Best Maul defensive side in the world. Every time they had a 22 entry, they basically just busted down the door and found a way how to score a try.
Physical,
This weekend against Italy, when they got that 22...
Because they had possession.
They had a lot of possession. Yeah. It's not the same effectiveness. They're not playing with the same, you know, aggro,
there's
tempo,
a spark missing, am I right?
Missing. So it almost looks easy to pick them off, where you think previous years, if they made that 4 years leading up to the World Cup, when they had a 22 entry, you were going like, okay, boys, this is trouble.
Unstoppable,
But it's also like you think they're top players. I think it's the beauty of DuPont as well. He makes the other guys look better.
Yeah,
DuPont.
DuPont not being there.
Silent T.
But they're not also...
He started it.
Ramos, what have we seen from him?
Yeah.
Very little.
Jalibert wasn't good.
Yeah, Jalibert was good. Plays brilliantly in the... Investec Champions Cup, but now he's been kind of non-existent. Fico and Dante, also not the impact that they had carrying and all of that. Peno, you know, hardly gets the ball. So you have all these world-class players, but the cohesion and they're just not in sync. And there's,
It definitely...
Lots of questions.
It feels like there's a hangover from the World Cup.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
If you watch them play, I think there's definitely... a hangover, and whether it's time for them to say, listen, let's change up our assistant coaching staff a bit, or let's find a different way of doing certain things. Because when you've got DuPont, it's so easy, not a silent tease.
Yeah, DuPont.
DuPont.
If you've got him, your exits, it's so easy, left or right foot, and he gets releases pressure. Now you've got to play more through your 10. And I don't know if that long kicking game is as effective when they just run it through their 10 point. Or their 15.
I mean, three games, obviously got smashed basically by Ireland.
The Scotland game could have gone either
way. Scotland game could have gone either way.
I still thought it was a try.
Right, yeah. And the last game,
about
the penalty.
Shot clock, guys. My criticism of Marnie is how long he takes with the shot clock.
Yeah.
You know, same with Garbisi on the weekend. You know, why do you have to wait for 7 seconds left on the clock to kick the bloody thing? It falls off. You rush it.
The guy charging down there, remember there's the is that a retake though? It is a retake.
That's a retake.
I think then the shot clock restarts. But I mean, it's a penalty. Have I charged down a penalty? I mean, like
let's be fair, you never charged down a conversion.
I tried to, I never got close. I'm not chasing Colby boys.
But also, Scala, look, there's that aspect with, but should have Guabisi, should have put the ball down and said, hold on, those guys have charged and there's an SSC on the guy on the field, let's reset it and let me take
the water boy, I mean, was it the water guy?
He was standing
right in the middle of the field, right in front of the kicker. But I think from the kicker's point of view, like you've almost got to go like the Andre Pollard route. I mean, when you're ready to kick it, you've done your process. Kick it. If there's 40 seconds left.
Put it down. Kick it.
Kick it down. Sometimes you see guys. When was George Ford when he got charged down? Was it the first game of the Six Nations?
Was it not last weekend?
Last weekend. And you could see he was buying time, the 97, whatever they've got since the try was scored, so that they can get enough guys on the field at the back. Mm. And then he sort of did an unusual step, and that was deemed that he moved. And when he moves, then you can charge. And we got charged down. Like, I think, you know, I don't think you need 90 seconds or a minute to kick a ball that's right in front of the post. Get on with it.
Retake. That would have been, I think, what Luisa, Italy's second win in their last 44 Six Nations matches.
Yeah, so it was Wales last year.
Second. Look, I know they've beaten France before when Nick was there.
This would have been a big
scalp. They've beaten Scotland. Yeah, it would have been a massive scalp.
Yeah, it would have been huge.
Yeah, I think for Gonzalo Quesada as well. You know,
it's still a big result for them.
Yeah, massive result.
And credit to Italy, they play nice rugby.
Yeah, no, it is nice to watch, I must say.
You know,
I don't think they're direct enough in certain ways. It looks pretty because it's behind the back. They're going side to side, but no one's actually punching.
Yeah,
hard.
But even result-wise, so the first game against England.
Competitive.
Competitive.
Very good,
then,
actually.
Against Ireland. Also competitive, but then, you know, obviously the margin was bigger.
Yeah, but John, the thing with the Ireland game, a lot of people said the old Italy would have been 60 points. Mm. This was, I think, just under 30 or 30 or whatever it is. So if you want to call it an improvement.
I mean, all of us were at the World Cup, and I mean, we went out for dinner with Brian O'Banner when our boys were watching it inside, and we said, listen, come give us a score every, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. Well, they're in there every minute going like, New Zealand scored a try, New Zealand scored a try. Whatever, they conceded 90-odd points. But, like, what I like about them is they, even their franchises are playing similar style of rugby. Like, Benetton's always been quite attacking in their mindset.
And they're doing well also,
And to have both sides now playing the same brand, and you know that transition happened under Crowley last year when they beat Wales, how beautifully they played that 80 minutes. So, I mean, you feel sorry for them not getting the result, result that I think they should have.
They'll never get an opportunity away in France to win a test.
No, they won't get the golden opportunity. But I think the platform is there in that I said it on another platform where the under-20s beat our under-20s last year, didn't they?
And they beat England.
They beat,
They beat us in the rain, eh?
So they're competitive at age group level now. The VRC teams are competitive. Yeah. Benetton is top four the last couple of months. You know, so they're competing. The Zebras got some points this year at least. Got a win.
They got an early win that helped them, eh?
So, you know, there's improvement in terms of that. So what you don't want... is for a team like Italy to be competitive now against Italy and then get blown out the water again in 2 weeks' time, you know, when they play again. You want consistency in that. And if that consistency is maybe still losing, but losing by closer margins, and then, you know, over time you close those margins, eventually you get the wins. I think we're seeing that from them.
The France side, Tuilagi, the young Tuilagi. Impressive for 19, I think 19 or 20-year-old. He's actually I think it's for a big guy like that. He's got good soft hands.
Another big unit, hey? Yeah. Another big Tuilagi. There's lots of them.
Yeah.
Even the small ones are not so small, John.
Look, this one's quite weird because you look at his build. He looks more like a tight-head prop than an actual lock. But then,
why are you so judgmental, Dan?
He's 140 kilograms.
He's got a lot
and
of...
he's a little bit taller than...
He reminds me a lot of Wolf. He's got a lot of Wolf Skelton in him.
He's definitely not a jumping horse. He doesn't strap his legs to jump.
A lot of Will Skelton with the soft touches and the offloads, but also then that physicality. He's going to keep you busy, eh? Like, if he runs at you, it's not a one-man job.
You demand two tacklers, and he's good enough to get the offload, like you said, like a Will Skelton.
I remember us defending in the back line there with Will Skelton running those short lines. And, I mean, like, the play out the back and the short options, sits you down. It's not like you can go, all right, you know, I can sort of push off. He keeps you very honest.
But he'll be, look, I suppose the only thing with him is that you got to build a pack around him, Skylar, because he's not a jumping, he's not a Victor Matfield in the lineouts. But so you need jumping loose forwards to, you know, he almost takes the role of a ball carrying loose forward in the back line. More stopping, a guy that punches the walls but actually doesn't
tell
jump.
You what, when that's they do throw the ball on him, he's going to get it. I mean, you're not marking him as a jumper.
Who's lifting him? How do you lift him?
If I was opposite him, like I would be the roamer between our two pods. And when they do eventually throw it on him, I'll be shocked. He must get that. Yeah.
It's like when Skalk Brits was playing at Saracens, where he used to field the balls in the back, the backfield.
So and then
you never left there.
Then John Smith came on and he filled the same role and knocked the first up and under that came to him. And then and then John was like, "Okay, guys, when I come up, I stand at hooker places." And we're like, "Okay, I think that's more."
Yeah, it is dangerous to try and adapt according to one player, you know, a player having a skill set and then changing the whole way that you play based on that player's skill set. But then again, you want the best.
So the scrum power also with him and Antonio, if he's scrumming behind him, that's a lot of muscle.
Heavy. It's a heavy side.
I'll be honest, I watched him in under-20.
And you have to be honest.
You have to be honest all the time.
You have to.
And I thought, how's this guy going to play international rugby? He's not built. He's not your 2 meter tall lock. Or how they're going to end, you know, and obviously now you saw what they're throwing on work here a lot. Olivon can jump. You need another probably two jumping options to work, to sort of work around him.
Yeah.
DuPont going to sevens, Vancouver. I think he made Vancouver made the team of the tournament.
I didn't see that, sorry.
Didn't do your research.
Well done for him.
Was he on fire, was he?
Good. He went on the first two games. I know he got subbed. He had like 3 minutes each game, the first two. But look, he's a world-class player. In terms of his skill set.
He played for France. He played for the sevens team before that. Yeah.
Okay.
But his skill set that he's shown at 15s level, I think just by that, we can see that on the sevens circuit, he can be
also what's underrated about him is how physically is that?
Physical and fast.
He's physical and fast. Like a little bull terrier. So one-on-one at sevens, I mean, it must be a nightmare.
Yeah, and even at the breakdown, I mean, he was very...
Do you think it's... with the French team struggling like us, is it the right call for him to go to sevens? We've seen, I think, was the Sonny Bull went to sevens.
Well,
who else went?
No, Sonny Bull
weren't you one of the guys that... No, you didn't try to go to the Olympics, did you?
No.
Or did you? Commonwealth Games.
I went to Commonwealth.
But Brian.
Brian? Yeah. Did Brian...
Brian didn't get selected.
But he went. He tried to,
Or he pulled out before, whatever. But DuPont...
Might have battled with his knee back then.
Do you think that his value has increased or decreased now since the time that he's not playing Six Nations, he's playing seven?
Increased.
Of course it's increased. Because they're now not doing well. And whether it is him not being there or not, Sonny,
he's the savior now.
He's
the savior. When's he coming back?
Yeah.
Everyone's calling to come save France.
Just imagine he wins gold.
It would be an amazing story.
Okay. Olympics and rugby.
Yeah?
Olympics and rugby.
We're going.
Are we going? I'd love to go.
Maybe, I mean, surely they need
my
some
body's
content.
Shaking at the thought of going back to Paris.
I don't know if my credit card allows me to go back there.
I don't know if I want to see Paris. I think I need a break from France.
I thought it was an earthquake when you said your body shake.
Scotland against England. Bothwick another. Look.
John, who did you back?
Yeah, I said
it. No, I said Scotland.
Yeah, he did say Scotland. I mean,
You said Scotland as well.
I said Scotland as well.
Who did you say?
Jimmy. England.
Okay, all right.
England.
How did you feel about your team on the weekend, Shimmy?
Not great. Look, a lot of mistakes. I think
hell
it was
of a 20, start. 20,
20 plus, hand, oh, hell of a start.
Perfect
20 plus,
start.
Beautiful
start. Handling errors. But look, you can say it's an England team in transition, but they've lost the last four. And the Scotland, this is a record.
The Calcutta Cup.
Was Scotland dominant or England bad?
I think, so the reason I mentioned the second try is that was kind of a swing for me in the momentum as well, getting that turnover try and you know, running basically 60 metres to score it. And then it just felt England could never recover after that.
As far as there was a lot of drama in this game, which was good for the Six Nations, but I don't think the quality was particularly high.
Yeah.
If you watch the Scottish start, you know, their first 20 minutes before they got into the game, I think they scored their first try after the amount of errors. You know, not only through Finn Russell, handling errors from both sides, which allowed obviously the English side to get a foothold in the game. And I thought when they got the perfect start, 10-0 up, I thought they were actually going to push on and put Scotland under pressure. Because you know how Scotland's going to try and react.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop playing. Finn Russell's going to try even harder. And so often when we get a start like that, or the box get a start like that against them, you know, they make compounded mistakes and errors and they try harder and they sort of, you know, play themselves out the game. But then again, it's England defense, first phase, you know, basic setup play with a tip option to Hugh Jones, to Pulotu, Ford, who was in? Ollie Lawrence? Was it Lawrence?
Yeah.
Dips his shoulder in, straight setup play, line break, try. So it's just too easy at the moment to score tries against England, and they battle to, you know, make it hard for teams to do that.
I must say that combination of Tupiloto and Hugh Jones, they understand each other so well. And
Hugh Jones runs good lines.
Hugh runs those lines so well. And the ability to really take it to the line, keep it late and keep both options open, you know, because you can so easily overrun it as the outside runner and then the defender just kind of drifts off to the back ball. But now you need to stay
is that
true?
What you guys do in split sessions with the back? Speak like us.
Yes, sounds beautiful.
She you run one, you have your bit of artistry.
He does it so beautiful.
And then drop the ball, he goes,
drop the ball. But guys, Duan Funamova within one try, hat trick this weekend, one try of breaking Stuart Hogg's record.
How many has he scored now?
Six tries and four appearances against England for now.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what his overall record is.
You can't just read it.
I think I read somewhere that he scored 20 in the last, whatever, 4 years.
I think Will Jordan's got the best strike rate at the moment. I think it's a try per test.
Yeah, 31 in 30 or something.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he's, I'm not sure. I think Hogg, I think Jean, he's got 20-something international tries.
Yeah, I'm not too.
When you get an ultimate finisher or a great finisher, like we had obviously Brian Abana, it's amazing how many things just bounce in their hands.
Yeah.
Or when there's a scoring pass to be had, he's at the end of it. And Duan Funamova, when he's in this form, is exactly the same same bloke, you know, like
Kurtley Arendse's also.
Kurtley Arendse's.
Kurtley's exactly, the one that ball
exactly
lands.
Exactly, the lands in his, you know, like even like I remember when Brian was in top form, he used to kick this thing off the middle of his shin and it used to wobble everywhere. Misses bounces. Four blokes, bounces into his yeah. hands, you know, like in. You're doing Van Merwe, like when he's on the ball, like he keeps you busy. He's a big, powerful
that,
bloke.
That third try was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
It really was
unreal.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And look, you need to have the ability to firstly identify the space and secondly execute on the skill set.
Yeah.
And they just got it all, you know, perfectly right. So.
But the England one last year, Twickenham.
Oof. Yeah,
the counter-attack, I think he got the ball on the halfway line.
Oh, yeah.
Ran
right.
past
yeah.
seven.
Yeah.
Ran past seven yeah. of the English defenders. Where's England going there? Like, what do you think?
Defensively, okay, we've spoken a lot about the England defense. They've conceded, you know, I don't know how many, a lot of points, let's say, in the last two, three games. It's still a work on. We spoke about it, I think, it one is. Of the earlier shows. It
I
takes
think
time.
Get it, they'll get it
they,
right.
It's, they've got it right a couple of times.
The learning curve is steep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scholar, Scotland were fumbling a couple of times when they did get it right. They got the connections right. The line speed yeah. came up beautifully.
So they were putting them under pressure, hence the handling errors. And the way Scotland wants to play against it is, you could see off Finn Russell, they had a lot of late shoulder balls. But before that, they do it off a second pass or so. So they don't have the firepower, Scotland at least, to go straight through that rush. So they, it's a hard thing to play against. But for me, it's more about the balance within the English side. Like when they're on the ball, do you think they're effective enough to actually play with ball in hand, put teams under pressure? Or must they resort still to something a little bit more conservative like they did at the World Cup where they were bloody hard to beat?
Yeah. But they probably need to move on from... Look, England, pre this game, had actually... I think they'd won yeah. nine out of their last 10 or something yeah. like that. And then the last 20, they were actually bloody good.
Yeah.
They've fallen apart. And now it just happens to be Scotland. I think the fallout will be bigger because it's Scotland.
Because it's Scotland.
It's a Calcutta yeah. Cup.
But is it Scotland?
Who else is it?
Piers Koeman at one.
Jack well, you can say that Ireland, Jack it's James Lowe.
Jack Dempsey at eight.
Yeah.
Ben White, English, at... nine.
Hugh Jones, English
at 13. Sione Tupelota at 12, New yeah. Zealand. Carl Steyn on
Duan
the wing.
So,
Duan Funamava at seven. That's eight.
It's international yeah. rugby.
That's seven. Seven out of the starting 15.
No, but if you go, okay, let's Ireland's look at Ireland. Bundy Aki, James Lowe, Mac Hanson. Okay, you're just saying. Gibson, it is Scotland, the ring, the Scottish jersey.
Gibson Park, Rob
the atmosphere there isn't great. I must say the anthems and everything, the build-up is something else. Though.
No, it is.
At Murrayfield, that is special.
Probably going to get slated for making those comments, eh?
No, you're not.
Well, you've been on social media lots by the sounds of it. Just keep
yeah,
on going.
Don't worry, you're trending. You're trending. Let's pick up quickly a South African 15 abroad. Now, let's just determine the rules of engagement. Can we pick guys that have retired
no.
or not?
No. No.
Can we stroke slash retired?
No.
I'm going to stroke them. Okay,
we retired.
Okay, no, let me pick a tie five.
You asked a question and now it's democratic.
Okay, Pierre Schoeman, Lucid.
Okay.
Yes, I like it.
Okay.
Rob Hearing, hooker.
Yeah.
He's not retired, is he?
He went to school underneath the mountain.
Yeah,
he's still playing.
Yeah, but he's
the third choice, probably Irish
yeah.
hooker.
Okay, Foster, yeah.
Tight head prop. This is where it gets controversial.
Yeah.
Via Pienaar or Peter de Villiers? He's retired, Peter de Villiers.
Yes.
So slash strokes, Peter de Villiers.
You want to tell me Peter de Villiers, now scrum coach, is going to start an international
probably
game?
Probably the same age as Via Pienaar.
Close.
No.
Close. No, you can't trick.
Okay, I played with Via Pienaar.
No, Via Pienaar.
Okay, look.
WP.
So I picked a team with guys that had retired. So.
But read the brief.
Okay, then I'll leave them out then. Locks. Willemse.
Yeah,
he's suspended. Joking.
Okay.
You can pick him.
Jean Clain.
No, but you can't pick Jean.
He played for Ireland. He wore an Ireland jersey.
Not anymore.
Okay. Well, he has played for Ireland.
But he is a Springbok.
He is a Springbok.
He is a Springbok. So doesn't count.
He's a World Cup winner.
And did he not run out for Ireland?
Yeah, but like
does not count.
That was 4 years ago.
Then we might as well say. Then we might as well say.
Wimpy van der Walt from Japan.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I can help you out with a couple there.
Dave Ribbons.
A couple.
Ribbons.
Yeah. Dave Ribbons. Oh,
Dave Ribbons.
Yes. How do
like,
Dave Ribbons?
I maybe wanted to plug him in at Loose Ford.
Dave Ribbons. I'll
He's
take Dave Ribbons.
He's also just from here, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about... Does,
Somerset
does,
West. Dave
does,
Ribbons.
Does,
sorry, guys. Sorry, my mistake. Jean Clain's out.
I don't know if...
Dave Ribbons
does,
is him.
Seb Negri count?
Yeah.
He was Western Province, was he?
No, Hilton. He was Hilton.
Hilton.
Yeah.
So Loose
Ford. So who are you going with then?
What?
A pleasure for helping you.
Dave Ribbons. Okay. I actually coached him. I can't believe I forgot. I actually coached him.
So like,
Loose Province under 21s.
Loose Forwards.
Good team. Great team.
Loose Forwards, blindside flanker. I don't know. I want some grunt on blindside. Can I put Seb Negri in there?
Yeah.
He does a bit of work on the saddle scrum, eh?
He is now.
He's now. Congratulations, Seb. You've made blindside flanker for expat South African side. I still think Ruan Ackerman's got international rugby into him.
Definitely.
He hasn't played though.
No, he hasn't played, but like he's good enough. Based abroad, good enough to play international rugby. It's about players.
Hold on. The rules of engagement, you have to have worn an international jersey for another country coming from South Africa. Has Ruan Ackerman run out of Twickenham wearing an England jersey?
Oh, is that the...
Is that the rules of engagement?
Yeah.
Okay, but then I'll pick...
I thought it's just foreign.
So, well, if you think about it, look at the guys I've just picked. Dave Rooms played for England.
Yes, that we picked.
Willem Sir France.
That you picked.
The two Scottish props.
Yeah, okay.
And I thought we can pick any South African baser that we think is good enough to play. I think
let's go with international. No,
what's the rules of engagement then?
Okay.
Have
the rules of engagement change.
Lapis Labaskagni will have to fall at number 8 for me, and then probably Wimpy at the open side. Who else have we got?
And Seb Negri, that's what you
Seb Negri. Yeah, okay, I've got it.
And 9?
Scrum half? Jeez, I'm so relieved.
If you book guys...
I'm so relieved Rory Cockett made a comeback, otherwise I would have been absolutely stuffed. So Rory Cockett holds, he must be 40. No, he's not 40, he's 30.
Cockett probably what? 37, 38.
37? He must be. He retired. He was defense.
Have you seen his elbow?
He was defense coach for someone.
Have you seen his elbow?
No.
His one arm.
What is it like?
Yes, yeah.
No ways.
It's quite a weird thing. Like, you go around and look at people's elbows.
He's back at Stade Français, but obviously played for France. And then I can only ever think of one fluff, and that's Jaco van der Walt playing for the Bulls. But he played 2 games for Scotland, no? 2 or 3 or 4. I don't know. Yeah. So that's what I've got. I've got nothing better.
You know who you can go with as well is. For flank or hooker,
blonde Richardson. Dylan.
Richardson. Oh, Dylan Richardson, yes. Yeah.
She hearings out Richardson's in. Hearings out Richardson's in. He's a good player, Richardson.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go 12. Did Shane Gates play for Japan? He did, eh?
Shane Gates.
From the Kings.
Yes. Like,
look
that's
at you,
perfect.
Boy.
Did he?
Yes.
Is he still playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, wait, which club?
Isn't he at NTT?
Okay.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Shining Arcs.
Okay. Well, like
I'm not sure.
I can't help you at centres. I was trying to think about it.
I'm not sure whether he played or not. Then I'm going to go at 13. I'm going to go Dieter Haf van der Merwe.
Wooster. Yeah. Okay. Straight from Wooster.
The Canadian winger.
Slash fullback, outside centre.
Now outside centre. From Wooster. Yeah. Then I'm going to go for...
Well, surely wing's easy.
Doohan van der Merwe.
Yeah, I know who the other wing is.
Who? Carl Stade.
Exactly. And fullback?
I was thinking... Fullback, I wanted to go with Tyrone Green, but we can't under the new...
So now you've got to go for...
The Japanese guy.
So now I'm going to go for Gerard van der Jeffer. At fullback.
From the Bulls.
Shadow, yeah.
What about the guy born in Durban? Is it Max?
Kotaro Matsushima.
Yeah.
Matsushima.
He's at Suntory, yeah.
Suntory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could put Van der Heffert at outside centre.
But who's selecting the team?
Yeah, you're selecting.
And it's a debate. Correct. You told me about Dylan Richardson. I'm trying to help you out here.
But I've selected Dieter Haf van der Merwe at 13.
Who's playing where? At which team?
Who's playing at the American team?
There's a lot there. Give me a name. which one? So let's go. Let's get awkward silence here. No, hold on.
What? Gala.
Giltinis or whatever.
Giltinis, yeah. But are they not bankrupt as well now again?
Isn't the team? No. I thought Noni and Gitter. No, they're a different team.
Which other backline players? I can't think of any other. Currently playing.
It's easy if you pick guys that have retired and have played. It's a lot easier selection. It's quite difficult to pick current players.
I don't know if Shane Gates played for Japan.
No, you might be having us there because that's a bloody long career he's had.
And also if you've got players that can potentially play for England, but Shimmy's ruled that one out. Like I said, Ruan Ackerman. I also thought of...
Tyler Paul. You remember the Sharks playing?
Yeah, Tyler
qualifies
Paul.
For Japan.
So. I also thought about Jacques Vermeulen.
Yeah.
Exeter.
Oh, he must be due for in England.
Yeah. He's definitely qualified.
Yeah.
Must have qualified already.
Liebenberg.
Exeter flanker, Leicester. Played for UCT. Played for. I'm trying to think if he played for.
Dom Armand.
Yeah, Dom Armand. Yeah.
Did he play for England? Yeah, there's one there.
Is he done?
He's done.
No, he's done, yeah. Same as Peter de Villiers.
When you're done, you're done, Shami.
It's a strong scrum. Want Peter de Villiers in your team.
That's my strong scrum. Guys, England, Scala, you've played, obviously, been at Saracens. The pressure on the England team, all is expected to do well, you know, a good record around the Six Nations. How much pressure is there around? Do they have the players, and how much pressure is there on Borthwick to actually do something? I mean, we had the Eddie Jones era. Didn't really end that well. Now, it's, you know.
Unfortunately, I think, like, with... you know, the issue with them is they've got a hangover from Eddie, you know, and the media is still sort of still on that trend, you know, like it hasn't really abated the fact that, you know, they're not happy with the way England's playing, even though, you know, they've been super successful actually over the last 12, 11 games. I think the problem is it runs deeper than that. If you think of, you know, where the Premiership sits at the moment, you know, that for me is a big issue. You know, a lot of big senior players will have to make big steps now to go to France. You see a guy like Owen Farrell, you're potentially going away from Saracens. You know, and I think that if the league suffers, you know your squad depth suffers as well. So the RFU, I think, will have to have a look at the structuring around their competition. You know, when I was there, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, there was a big call to make it closed. So let's go 12 teams. Let's make it close and let's grow this thing together instead of having the promotion relegation. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and then they lost big names within them. You know, London Irish, Wasps, Worcester, all of them is in big trouble. So, yeah, I think it's going to be hard for them to rejig the system. I do think there's good enough players. It's about them finding identity that works for them.
So Borthwick, for now, he is the guy to take them...
I think so. I don't think they're going to benefit anything by having another change in regime. Yeah. Like Eddie obviously was there for, you know, how long was he there? 8 years, 7 years. And then, you know, Steve took it over just in time for the World Cup. And then you could see what he was doing. He got the simple things right, the mechanical things, scrum, defense, kicking game. And now they're part of the evolution on how do they attack, you know, how do they want to defend. I do think it's going to take a while.
Because you look at it, I mean, I think it's 8 tries in 3 games conceded.
Yeah.
World Cup strong defense. All the fundamentals seem to be there during the World Cup. They brought in old Dan Cole to sort of anchor the scrum. A big pack kicking game, but the evolution is what they're looking at now. The problem is Skulk is they've got Ireland at Twickenham, and then they jump on a plane to New Zealand. And Razor's waiting there as the new All Black coach. And
If you think of what triggered a lot of questions about them is their big... lost record defeat against France just before the World Cup.
Yeah.
In Six Nations, it was 40-something points. And I think, you know, Ireland will be licking their chops to get a hold of them, especially if the defence is, as they've been, where they're not on the same path. If there's one side that can put the box defence, who's, I mean, everyone's on the same wavelength, we defend a certain way, they put us under pressure by quick set rucks, playing narrow and finding space out wide. This weekend against England, they'll have a defence that's not as organised as us, not as hard working for the moment at least, and they'll be able to stretch them. Well, next weekend, they'll be able to stretch them. So for England, that will be a massive worry going next week. Because if you don't build pressure on the Irish side and they can play quick tempo, quick ruck ball, because one thing about the South African defence, if you defend like us, you can't have soft shoulders. You can't have someone that soaks.
You've got to have dominant hits.
And if you soak with this defence, you run out of time to set. You get narrow and you
so
get
England, skim. Ireland, you're calling it early, Ireland. Or let me not put words in there. I'm going to ask you just now.
Yeah? Yeah, I think.
Well, it's at Twickenham.
I know. I can't see England beating them, but stranger things have happened.
I think we should wait with the predictions until next week.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's talk about Wales against Ireland then. Wales, slow starters. It's been proven. Again, chasing the game. A little bit of heart in the second half, but this Irish team is just too organized. Well, it seems too organized.
Yeah, you can probably say that Ireland had an off day. Yeah. You know, mistakes that they don't normally make. Being able to score the 4 tries when you've got an off day, when it's not that in sync, etc., you know, shows the class of the team. I thought it felt like Wales, they were always in the fight, but just not good enough.
Yeah.
So they
had a real big shot just after halftime. You know, Ireland, Byrne got a yellow card penalty try. They had a 22 entry straight off the back
and
of that.
And then couldn't score.
And they couldn't score for what seemed to be like 7.5 to 10 minutes where, you know, the first time Ireland were on the ball, they scored a try.
They scored the try.
And that was the big difference between
And then it was just too much. So, look, again, I think it's fair to say that Warren Gatlin can take positives out of it. They're learning, and some youngsters coming through being exposed at this level that have shown that they can do a job there
for the future. Bunch. Their defense is actually super brave. Eh? Yeah. They stick in the fight for ages.
But they
riffle on
but
the
just not good enough
Wainwright
at the moment.
Works hard.
And that's the problem. You're not good enough. You're not winning. And there comes a time when, you know, that's not when people's not going to say no, they were brave, because bravery just doesn't.
Look, there's a correlation, Scala. You mentioned it, the English Rugby League. Question the league itself, question marks, Wales, question marks. You look at Australia and Super Rugby, question marks. You look at the international teams, they're not really firing on all
I think on for all this cylinders. Side, their biggest risk is playing Italy for the Welsh side.
Italy could, that could be.
That for me is the one, because if you're a young side and you're playing up against Ireland and there's a fear of, listen, yeah, we can get skimmed today. You play out of your skin to make it a fight. You're in that fight from the get-go. If you play a team that you think quite possibly we better side, we should win this one, and you lack that intensity that we had for the first 2 weeks, and you're
that's
quite
a negative effect.
Yeah, it's a tight one. So that's the one I'd be scared for Wales.
So Ireland for the Grand Slam, back-to-back Grand Slams.
Yeah, I think so, and it tees it up beautifully for us in June. Not being selfish, but like having
Grand
Slam champions playing the world champions.
Yeah. You think it's not going to happen?
No.
I know that laugh of yours.
What? No. I
he's half Irish, remember?
Munster man.
Yeah, he was just wondering what we were saying.
Eh? No, I don't think anyone will stop Ireland in the Six Nations.
What did I say? It's Irish by birth, Munster by the grace of God.
Correct. South African by birth.
Munster by the grace of God. Look at this guy. He loves his Munster boys.
Long forgotten.
Forget province.
1994, I wore the province jersey for the first time.
Forget province, forget Stormers, Munster.
Always
man.
Be in my blood.
Munster man.
But you can have both.
But geez, how beautiful does that Irish series become now?
No, it'll
World champions against Ed Loftus, opening game.
Against the Six Nations champions. That is going to be huge. And it'll be a massive test for the Irish team as well. Because, I mean, they've only, you know, won here once. One game. So now to go and win a series, in other words, going 2 weekends in a row, beating the world champions. Yeah. If they do that, that'll be a massive statement. It'll still be 12 months too late.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, we grew up playing in these June inbound test matches and we loved them.
We had Ireland 2004, remember, in Bloemfontein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the 3 week camp or whatever, it felt like 3 years.
We played them in Bloem in Cape Town. So I love these. Yeah,
Scala,
so
nice. Wait, hold on. I just remembered something.
Yeah.
Didn't you miss a flight?
No, I made the flight. I missed the bus.
After which test?
You were man of the match. After the Cape Town test. Yeah. So I was...
No, you missed something. I remember.
No, I missed the bus. I just met you at the...
Wales the following week.
Yeah. I met you at the airport. So obviously slept out from Cape Town. Overslept. And then just went straight to the airport.
Aeroporto.
Met you guys there. Jake wasn't very happy that I missed the bus in the first place, but at least I didn't miss the...
Okay, just missed the bus. Sorry, my
I missed
mistake.
The bus. And I think, I mean...
Everyone misses the bus once in a while.
Everyone
misses
the bus.
I missed the bus a couple of times.
Remember 2016 as well, when was it three test series or just two tests?
We lost the one. We lost the one in Cape Town.
Cape Town.
And that's
CJ,
the Pat Lambie.
Pat Lambie.
Yeah, yeah.
They won that game.
Was that two? That was 2016.
2016.
And
then the Joburg game, also bloody close. Ireland. Yes. They were looking really good.
That was the beginning of the Irish resurgence, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then Damien Delaney scored that try, kind of breakthrough try. For us to win that, but I mean, they could, you know, they were close to winning that series, so there's so much on the line for this one.
When was that the last time Ireland were here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Smith.
We seem to play Wales a lot for some reason, and.
Yeah.
Which other team? France haven't toured here.
France toured in 2017. You can just ask these questions and I'll just answer.
Okay. Wales were here in Bloemfontein.
Yeah, was man of the match.
Yeah, it was
Bloemfontein.
That was
where the Friday dinner the night before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to think who toured. 2019
is a World Cup year. And we don't have the
inbound.
Ask the question.
England, 2018 was England, sorry.
England. Yeah. CS first.
So you reckon no one's touching Ireland, the Six Nations. They come here as back-to-back Grand Slam champions.
I think so.
Against the world champions, and then we'll fight it out. Springbok News guys, Louis Kuhn apparently in line to be director, the new director of rugby, with Rassie taking over the head coaching job. You guys must be proud. He was at Paul Gym.
He went to Paul Gym, of course. I mean, we...
organizational skills, can see the future.
We get a little nervous if a Paul Gym guy is not in administration, so it's good to have him back.
And you've worked with, you've played with Louis. No, you
yeah, we both played with Louis.
2003
was.
But he's been around the system. I think he's looking after the women's team at the moment. He was junior director of rugby, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think he's worked with Rassie for a long time.
Yeah.
So again, it's understanding that. And look, you have all these titles, but at the end of the day, it's understanding how does the system work, who reports to who, and where does, you know, I can't see Rassie reporting to Louis.
Yeah.
I don't think
The working relationship is good.
With Rassie stepping into the BOC head coach, he doesn't have time for the other stuff that happens under the director of rugby role. You know, women's rugby, age grade rugby, referees, all the stuff, junior rugby.
Yeah,
to be honest, we haven't been too good at the last few years. I think that's Louis' prerogative, and Rassie is obviously outstanding with handling the box. So let Rassie coach the box.
Yeah, and almost separate to that.
And Louis, under his role, sits the rest of the director of rugby's role.
He's a rugby guy through and through, Louis, as well. So understand Springbok rugby, he's been in the system for a long time. Yeah, I think he'll do a good job.
Good appointment,
Good person.
Alignment squad. Obviously, every time a squad's announced, this guy's left out, this guy should be in. You guys, there's a lot of new names there, which is good and healthy, but also a lot of guys probably left out, but also a lot of guys that have been to alignment camps. And I think you get to an age, Skylar, where do you need an alignment camp because you understand what's needed? You know what I mean? I think closer to Springbok selection.
Very aligned.
You'll sort of know what's going on.
Yeah, you go, John.
No, I think it was quite interesting to see all the youngsters.
I think it's exciting. Yeah. It's nice for them.
But I think it's great. It's exposing them to that environment, getting them used to it, and also from a coaching team point of view, them getting to know those players, you know, on a more personal level, socially getting to know them. Because, you know, as Jesse said last week as well, they very much got a culture of selecting the right people, maybe rather than the best people. Yeah. And a big part of that is the personalities that you select. You know, does a guy fit in? He might be a brilliant rugby player, but doesn't fit into the system, etc., etc. So when you introduce those young guys, you see, is there good work ethic? You know, how do they talk about the game? Do they are they coachable? You know, some of these guys you're just not coachable. So I think that's good for kind of the new generation. I think a lot of these youngsters we won't see in a BOC jersey in the next 12 months or so, but introducing them slowly but surely is a good thing. And then
it's also role clarity. Understand what's needed. Listen, we're looking at you. This is where we looked at your game. They cut clips. Let's have a look at it.
And
work on this for the next year.
The one name that I just want to mention, I think, which is a positive as well, is the Cheetahs guy, the hooker.
Yeah.
Funamavo, what is it?
The
hooker.
Yeah.
You know, again, a guy that's not playing.
The hooker, we'll call him the hooker now.
But out of the Cheetahs, you know, like to know that like you can actually make it. Rusty's watching them.
Yeah.
He's interested in the way they're playing. I think the main thing for this is if you a youngster and you get invited to a lineman camp, they're going to sit you down and say, listen, are you close to what we want? But this is the barometers that we want you guys to perform. We've got a unique way as Springboks of playing.
Yeah.
And for us to have our point of difference is X, Y, and Z. And we want you to see this is what you're doing currently, and this is what you can get better at, and this is what you're really good at. And I think that is how Rassie puts his team together. The personality comes on top of that. But like he looks at players that he thinks is good enough to fit to the barometers that we need to have a point of difference for all those youngsters that was in that training or in that lineman squad, that's a massive positive. And it's up to them now to prove to Rossi that, yes, his work rate can get better. Yes, his effectiveness when carrying, cleaning, his core skill set can get better. And if he does that, there's no reason for Rossi not to select
him. In the pound seat now, Scala, look, they're in the pound seat. And also, back-to-back World Cups, the guys know what they've done. It's worked.
Yeah.
It's worked before and it's going to work in the future. But exciting times. Chaps, it's time to close the show down
just
now.
Just as I start sweating in this
place.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, no, the sweat's going down. Next week, we've got a special guest to preview the last 2 weeks of Six Nations rugby. I don't know who the guest is, John. Maybe we'll figure it out during the week. But we'll catch you guys next week for another episode of The Box Office, which is now closed.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.